Hi, I'm Dana, and I am a wellness educator for dogs and a dog trainer. I am here to help you get proactive with your dog's health and wellness so that you save money on vet visits, improve your dog's quality of life, and have the opportunity to fully enjoy your well-behaved dog. Over the years, I sought many answers for why so many dogs were struggling with behavioral issues. I found amazing answers in nutrition and natural wellness. My goal today is to leverage every available modality to help you achieve long-term results and a thriving, healthy, happy dog. Nothing brings me more joy than bringing a dog back into balance and giving that joy back to his family. I hope you will enjoy this series of podcasts that are designed to help you learn more about nutrition, natural wellness, and your dog's behavior. Hi, these podcasts are for educational purposes only. We are not here to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any specific disease or illness. You are encouraged to do your own research and consult with your veterinarian or holistic practitioner regarding your pet's individual care. So now I invite you to come, sit, and stay well as you enjoy the show.
Right.
All right. So welcome, Dr. Barb Fox. I am happy to have you here today again. For those listening, I'm Dana Brigman. Dr. Barb, say hi and give a quick shout out to your website and what you do.
Well, thanks, Dana. This is really fun. I don't even know which number of podcast this is what we're doing. But for those of you who do not know who I am in Northeast Iowa. I'm a holistic veterinarian. My website is barbfoxdvm.com. So mm-hmm. It's just Barb and F-O-X and D as in dog, V as in vet, M as in Mary.com. And I do have some educational courses on there for purchase, lifetime access to the content. And then I also do private one-on-one comprehensive veterinary consultations. So if you are looking for a second opinion or a natural approach to your animal's wellness and health, then I can help you with that. Yep. And then I also speak at conferences across the country and do these fun things with Dana. So
I totally encourage all of you who are struggling with some sort of wellness concern or diagnosis, especially from a traditional veterinary medicine practice, to reach out to Dr. Barb and do a holistic consultation that is specific and unique and individual to your pet versus some of this shotgun approach to information that's out on Dr. Google. We've been chatting about that this right? morning. So call Dr. Fox and not Dr. Google.
So yes, please do.
So today I wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about sort of the digestive system, supportive organs, and the waste management system. And so in essence, we're going to talk about the liver, the kidneys, and the pancreas, and the relationships all of these have to each other, and maybe what we can do with some dietary support, some supplemental support, especially when we get those blood work, those blood panels back, and the vet says, oh, your elevated liver enzymes or your liver enzymes are elevated a little bit. Let's keep an eye on that. How can we get proactive? So Dr. Barb, can you tell us about these organs and let's start with their relationship to each other and why, if we're working on one, the others might need to also be supported.
Sure, Dana, I can do that real easily. We always think when we look at a graphic or a diagram of the anatomy of the digestive tract or anything inside the body, it looks like there's space between everything. But when you actually open up a human or an animal body, you're going to see the liver, the pancreas, the stomach, the small intestine, the large intestine, all touching each other. So oftentimes when we have a problem with one organ system, we're all connected to these other organs, and there could be imbalances in those other organs. And I'm going to say a little bit about blood work, because I know people rely so much on their blood work. The organs have to be pretty affected by some kind of imbalance or disease before it shows up on the blood work. So you have to pay, you know, good attention to your animal. What's the hair coat look like? What does the animal's stool look like? And I don't want to get real gross or graphic here, but we know what a normal dog poop should look like. And so if, you know, there's a lot of gas being passed, or there's a lot of soft stools for a long period of time, those are signals we need to be paying attention to and not relying on blood tests, because again, blood tests only indicate there's something going on. It's been going on for a while. The exception would be one of the liver enzymes called ALT, alanine transferase. That signifies very recent damage to the liver. But your alkaline phosphatase, which is your ALK-phos on your blood work, if you look at those letters or those acronyms and try to figure out what they are, that's also, it can indicate skeletal muscle tissue damage. It can indicate some kind of heart damage. We tend to think of it only as liver, but there are some other organs that are affected there. But the alkaline phosphatase elevations indicate that something's been going on chronically. It's been going on for a while. And those are things that we need to pay attention to.
Okay.
And so I encourage, like, everybody that, now you mentioned, you know, having your vet say, well, just keep an eye on it. No, I think that's the time we really need to sit back and go, okay, we have an issue here with an elevated liver enzyme. Short of doing an invasive needle guided biopsy on the liver or doing some expensive testing, we can start with those digestive enzymes that you mentioned. Digestive enzymes are so important. And I know from my experience, I don't handle fat very well. And even olive oil, if I've cooked in olive oil, I know I need those digestive enzymes to help break down that protein and fat, because my pancreas obviously is not doing the job. And so what those digestive enzymes do is just to start the digestive process past the saliva. Saliva starts the whole process, and then we get into the stomach, where the stomach acid helps start breaking things down. But if a dog is on, say, like some kind of antacid, or even us, on, we're not breaking our food down properly. The enzymes are the key. And as we age, or a dog ages, then those enzymes start to decline in number. And supplementation is absolutely necessary.
Yeah. I had a call recently chatting with someone. And basically what they said to me, my dog has been on a raw diet, which of course means a lot of things to a lot of people, for 10 years. We've never had any issues and nothing has changed. So why all of a sudden is my dog having all these digestive issues? And I'm like, the thing that has changed is the age of your dog, right? And we don't often think about that. We're looking at all the things around us, but not what's happening internally, what that dog, he might've been able to digest it well, even a few years ago, or as you said, the organs are starting to have some underlying issue that may be present long before we ever see its indicators. And so,
you know, that's true. Yeah, Dana. And the other thing that just popped in my mind is, it didn't just pop into my mind, but it popped in my mind so that I tell you about this, is that as an animal ages, if you've been giving a lifetime of vaccinations, and then you have been giving years of flea and tick preventative, especially if you're giving the flea and tick pills, I won't mention company names here, but the cumulative effect of those can really, we start to see the damage from those organs that are trying to metabolize these chemicals and these toxins. And that's exactly what they are. They're pesticides, they're insecticides, and they go internally into your dog if you're giving them orally. And it may not happen the first several years, but then the liver and the pancreas and everything else that's trying to digest and metabolize these things go, hey, wait a minute, we've got a huge problem here. And that's when we start to see these digestive issues. I also think that there are a lot of toxins that heavy metals that our animals come in contact with through water, food, even the air, and these settled in the body. So we're getting bombarded, and I should say our animals too, not just us, our animals, and we are getting bombarded with so many chemicals and toxins, and sometimes it's really hard to avoid them. But I'm like you, I get really proactive. I get aggressive on making sure that I'm taking the things that I know is going to make my body healthy as well as my animals.
Yeah. One of the things that really hurts my heart is when somebody says to me, oh, we've used those products for years and never had a problem. And then I come out and I want to go, you haven't had one yet. And, you know, then I'm sort of the butthead for bringing that up.
Right.
It's so true that, and the word you used was cumulative, and we don't, most pet parents don't consider that cumulative effect. And
because we have no way of knowing if those products are cleared from the body or not.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, we could probably do some toxicology blood work, but oftentimes toxicology involves stomach or intestinal contents, and we don't want to do surgery to take those things out and do tox screens on them.
Right.
So yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. And I'll just mention, and maybe you can add to it, and we're just slightly off course, but that's okay. I love these calls about the heavy metals. When I moved down here to the beach, we were now on city water, where I had been out on the country well water for a lot of years, right? And got here and started doing the Zyto scans, and heavy metals started showing up for my dogs and for me. And I'm like, well, it has to be the water. It has to be the water. So we started filtration systems at the house and all that kind of stuff, and doing some detox type work with essential oils and supplementation and all that kind of stuff. But my point of saying this is things change. And even though we might think we're doing all the right things right, the environment around us starts to present things that we just simply can't always know and can't always control. So
that's absolutely correct.
And the other thing that I noticed, you know, so I used to use the little metal, ideally stainless steel, but you know, some of them are not. And I think about when we had those in the kennel building, those metal bowls, and now that I'm using glass bowls, if one ever got completely dry, like it just dried out because you had not refilled it, it had been outside or whatever, the texture of the residue left in that bowl, in a metal bowl, was very different than the texture of what was left that completely evaporated from a glass bowl. And so people, you know, take a look at the quality of your bowls, because there is something to that as well.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
Yeah. So, all right, well, let's get back to the liver and the kidneys. So, okay. How do they talk to each other? What do they do in support of each other and the flow of the digestive process and the waste management process?
Well, the liver and the kidneys are both excretory organs. And what that means is they excrete toxins. And if you think of the liver as a big waste management facility, that's pretty much what it is, because it takes in all the junk, all the toxins, all the drug metabolites from the body, and packages it with bile and different things and gets rid of it through the colon. So we have the in and the out. Okay. Mm-hmm. Same way with the kidneys. The kidneys are a big waste management facility for fluids, especially blood. Everything goes through the kidneys, and the kidneys filter out many toxins as well. So depending on how many toxins the animal is exposed to, those organs sometimes take a huge hit. And going back to that important blood work again, the kidneys. Now, there's another new sensitive test called the SDMA test, and it checks for early kidney failure. It's a more sophisticated screening process. We used to rely on just BUN and creatinine levels to determine kidney failure, but those enzymes are only released when the kidneys are 85% damaged.
Wow.
Now, we don't want to get to that 85%.
Sure.
So, And so what else did, so those excretory organs, like I said, can be overworked, overtaxed. And if they are overtaxed and the toxins are not being released in the body, then we have issues. And I'm not sure if that's what you wanted me to talk about as far as the function. I'm trying to make it simplistic.
Well, it's certainly helpful, right? But I'll give you an example of something that sort of struck me. So I had high blood pressure for years and still would if I weren't getting real proactive about that these days. But it's family genetics is part of it, but a lot of it was my lifestyle. But I was shocked to find that the kidneys were affected by the blood pressure. Mm-hmm. And then to find that because the kidneys were affected, I needed to also support my liver. So why might that be?
Again, Dana, everything's connected. And you're looking at, again, the relationship between the liver and the kidneys as being organs that get rid of stuff that need to get out of the body. And so that correlation just tells me, I mean, like that correlation, I'm trying to put it in really simple terms here, mm-hmm. that correlation has to be there for those organs to be synergistic in ridding the body of waste materials.
Right.
And yeah.
Would you
and you're right, you know,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to talk about that blood pressure. Yes, the kidneys take a hit. If you have high blood pressure, it damages those little tiny, what they call the renal tubules in the kidney. And then we start to get early kidney failure. So yeah, that's all I was going to say about that.
Yeah. So would you say that if one of these organs is struggling, that it's having a difficult time doing its job optimally, that then that increases the burden on the other organs that support it?
Yes.
To work harder. That's kind of what I'm trying
right.
to
get at. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
So let's shift and talk a little bit about maybe some diets and supplements and essential oils, whether it's detox, what that means to you. Can we actually detox these organs? Can we cleanse them? And if so, how do we do those things when we start, we start thinking about the dog that has been 8 years worth of vaccines or 13 years worth of vaccines and lower quality food? What do we need to do? So there's multiple layers to that question, and I'll let you just start at the top and funnel your way down.
Well, for those of you who don't know me, I had a horrible health scare in 2007. I was diagnosed with an aggressive breast cancer. So I chose, this is just my personal choice. I'm not trying to tell people what to do, but I did not go through chemo and radiation. I had surgery to remove the lump. I kept my breast tissue. I kept all my lymph nodes, but my body was very toxic. In fact, some of the supplements that I took, I couldn't take until I had done a slower detox because they were detoxing my body way too fast. And then I broke out in rashes and itchy stuff all over my body.
Can I ask you, Dr. Barb, to clarify, yeah. What does it mean to have a toxic body? How did you know? What told you that? How would we know a dog has a toxic body?
I had a lot of other health issues. I had fibromyalgia, severe allergies, asthma, GERD, gastrointestinal reflux badly, where I'd take like a bottle of Pepto-Bismol a night. I mean, it was horrible.
Bless your heart.
And then I, started going to chiropractors, and they would explain how the body, these substances build up in the body, and this is what toxicity is. And then they can do muscle testing. And I've done muscle testing on animals to find out which organs are full of stuff and which aren't. And I think it's like when you know, if you, you can feel, if you've got heartburn, if you've got bloating, or your dog is passing a lot of gas, if your dog is, has a rough looking hair coat, maybe a little flaky and yeasty smelling, we know that animal's toxic just from the education that at least I have been exposed to and what I try to teach my clients. And then you can do your, there's some veterinarians will do hair analysis. I'm not into that yet. I'm looking into it, but if you send a hair sample in, even a saliva sample in to like Dr. Jean Dodds, she can go through, she's got a company called NutriScan. She can do a saliva analysis and find out what food sensitivities or certain things that your animal might be toxic to or sensitive to. So there are a lot of different options for finding out where those toxins are coming from. But when I think of toxic, Dana, I think of it mainly as if you've got poor looking skin, dry, flaky skin, your dog has dry, flaky skin. Maybe he burps, or like I said, passes a lot of gas, the stools, or, you know, maybe there's some days it alternates. He's got normal stools or maybe two hard stools. Next day it's liquidy. So there's a lot of different things that we can, that would probably be a good Zoom call just on that.
Poop.
Yeah.
We can do that.
Toxicity. Right.
Don't send me pictures of poop. You'd be surprised at the people that do. They're like, what do you think of this?
Oh, I know. I've got the, I've got pictures of puke and poop and everything. So,
yeah. So, you know, I think, again, I think we need to assume that if we've been on these kibble diets, we've had these environmental factors, these specific toxins going in, that there is some level of toxicity in our pets. So can we detox that?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. But with animals, they're very sensitive. And I found that doing a slow detoxification process is better. I've detoxed before too fast. I tell you, it's not fun. Right. And I don't want to cause undue stress or uncomfort or discomfort to our animals. Mm-hmm. So what I like, now Young Living has a product called DetoxZyme.
Yep.
And basically it is a combination of different herbs and, things in there that help remove, I'm trying to be FDA compliant here.
Understand. Thank
yeah.
you.
But basically it's supporting a healthy detoxification.
Mm-hmm.
And then oils. I love the oils like Juva Flex or Juva Cleanse, because anything that has that, the cleanse, we know Juva is the word that they use for liver support. So Juva Cleanse, we can think of cleansing the liver. Digize is one of my favorite oil blends, and it not only is good for support for the digestive system, but I've also heard where people use that for supporting the kidneys as well. Okay.
Yeah.
And then any of the, you can get a reference guide and look at the essential oils. But when I had my issue with the cancer diagnosis, I couldn't take anything orally very well until I got more detox. So I use the oils topically, and I do that in a lot of my animal patients, diffusing and topical application of things. I'm very careful to give dogs, and I don't ever give essential oils to cats orally. They've got a different liver pathway, how they break things down. Right. And I don't want to make them more uncomfortable or sick doing that. Dogs can have the DetoxZyme. There's another product called EssentialZyme 4 that I absolutely love. It's the digestive enzymes, and it's in a slow release type of delivery. So it's working on different organ systems at different times of the day. It's really gentle on the stomach.
Yeah. Awesome.
And then Raindrop is another thing. If you teach Raindrop, a canine Raindrop, it can be done very simply. People sometimes think, oh, I don't have time to do a Raindrop, but we can do a quick and dirty, down and dirty, whatever you want to call it, Raindrop, where you just mix the oils in the Raindrop oils into a roller bottle and then just roll it on the spine, do a couple little feathering techniques, and you've got it. But anytime that a dog has been on a boatload of drugs, medications, vaccinations, even flea and tick, I'm not going to put the oils right over that flea and tick area, but we'll put it up to that area and let the Raindrop kind of send the the toxicity out of the body.
Right.
Raindrop is usually used to support the immune system, but it also has a cleansing effect.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things we can do.
Yeah. And so I often start with a detox protocol for dogs that have aggression, because we talk a lot about the liver in aggression, right? Anger. And to me, that translates to aggression in a dog. Those sort of red hot flare up attitudinal dogs. So I go to work on the liver. That's part of the protocol that we start with. Then even my dogs, I do an annual protocol. I do the seasonal spring liver gallbladder season. We support the liver. Is there another frequency of that you might recommend for the typical pet to do this? Or do you do it more as you think it's needed?
That's what I do, Dana. If I see that the animal is having, I really believe in the spring and the fall protocol. I think that's great because humans go through the same thing. I had a detox I wasn't planning on in March. It wasn't pleasant, but man, it was just like, oh, bingo. It was only 6 hours, but it got rid of a lot of stuff that I need to get rid of. Right. I mean, I'm not going to go into detail.
Please don't.
Our animals are exactly the same way. And, let me talk a little bit about allergies, because I think this is really important. If I see an itchy dog or a dog that has, some reddened ears and skin, and you talked about the liver. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who are listening that don't know, in traditional Chinese medicine, the liver is the organ that stores anger, and aggression. So if we have a dog that has this hot flare up on their skin, what I call a hot mess, then immediately think of liver support and getting a detoxification program in place, because allergies are a symptom of something internal.
Yeah. We can consider it angry skin, right? We can consider it angry ears, you know, that's how I think about it.
Right. And the first thing that a conventional veterinarian does is grabs injection of steroid and then sends home about a month's worth of antibiotics.
Yep.
Yeah. And then the skin clears up.
But
that's just treating the symptoms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing now these immediate shots to subdue the allergies. There's two choices and I don't like either one of them. So.
Right. I will say though, that if a dog comes in with hot spots and they have a weeping, draining mess, they're probably going to get some temporary steroid therapy, but I'd like to do the oral pills so that I know, I'm just talking about prednisone, so that dog can get some immediate relief, because when we've let it go too far at that point.
Right.
And then that dog needs that. And because if you don't, it's going to keep scratching and scratching, and then we can get a life-threatening MRSA infection or something else. So I do some integrative medicine and when needed, but you're right. If we think about preventing all this in the first place or mitigating it, I should say, then we're going to have a lot happier animal, a lot healthier animal.
Yeah. So we've sort of covered doing like the liver support, liver detox. Would there be a time that you did ongoing liver support? And if so, how?
Well, yes. And that would just be like, there's milk thistle. There are Young Living supplements or other supplement companies that help with, you know, they have really good products for liver support. And I'm trying to think of the one. I don't want to mention company names here.
Oh.
Pardon?
I thought you were thinking of Utone.
That is a good one. That is a really good one. Juvitone is a Young Living supplement, and that is specifically designed for liver support.
Yeah.
So if we have a dog that has chronic allergies, even when it is on a really good diet and we're not getting the chemical assaults that you might think might flare it up, there could be something, there's some genetic issues with liver, like Yorkies, for example. If you've got a Yorkie, I'm always going to mention liver support, because I've seen too many of them develop liver issues, and sometimes dogs with liver shunts, if they're born with a shunt, they have to have ongoing support 24/7. Okay. So those are the two big instances I can think of, Dana.
Awesome. So I get a lot of calls on my dog has had an episode of pancreatitis or has been diagnosed with pancreatitis. So the acute and the chronic, right? And can you tell us how digestive enzymes can be beneficial to the pancreas? I don't often hear those clients who are calling me, they don't mention that their veterinarian told them they needed digestive enzymes. So then I show up and say, you need digestive enzymes to help that pancreas. And they're like, but my vet said or didn't say. And so I'd like them to hear it from you.
Okay. So the pancreas, in addition to producing insulin, which is very crucial to the body, also produces some digestive enzymes. So if you have a bout of pancreatitis, which means inflammation of any kind in the pancreas, those enzymes are supplementing the enzymes that the pancreas is not secreting. Mm-hmm. So it's a kind of a cycle. We've got to take care of those enzymes that the pancreas is deficient in producing. And sorry for the noise. That's when you have cats in the house, it's going to happen.
That's okay. My dogs have been outside barking, so it's fine.
I haven't heard them. So, there are products in some of the digestive enzymes that do support pancreatic function. And this is why, going back to Young Living, they have another product simply called Essential Zyme. Mm-hmm. It comes in the form of a caplet, but it had a label. I'm not sure if it still does or not, but it had a label for support of a healthy pancreatic function. So, yeah. And you know, in the last couple of years, I've seen an explosion of pancreatitis.
Yep.
There's a new test called the CPL test. It stands for canine pancreatic lipase. And that just is an enzyme that indicates pancreatitis. There's no level on it. The test says normal or abnormal. So you have no idea what the damage is in the pancreas. I have a couple of theories on pancreatitis. I think that maybe because of this new testing, we're seeing more cases that we didn't identify before, or it could be because of all of the changes in the commercial pet food industry. And I'm talking about dry kibble, processed food, increase in the number of vaccinations that the animals are getting on an annual basis, coupled with those flea and tick and heartworm products that go orally. I think there's a huge correlation between all of it.
I agree. So what kind of dietary support do we need with a dog who is prone to a pancreatic flare-up or has sort of been diagnosed with pancreatitis in sort of this chronic state? To me, most people think of fats only and they want to go into almost a no fat diet. And I don't think people recognize that sugars can also be a contributing factor to pancreatic flare-ups. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. And I think that a low fat diet for the initial period when that pancreas is healing up is probably okay, because like I said, it's not producing the enzymes that break down fat.
Mm-hmm.
So in that interim period, it might be wise to go on a low fat diet. I don't like to have a dog stay on a low fat diet forever, because we need fat for different organ system functions, and our cell walls all have a phospholipid layer.
Can you say that again?
Okay, so every cell in our body has a phospholipid. Fat. What?
Every cell needs fat. And I got some
every
extra.
Cell needs fat. Yeah, I've got plenty too. If you want to share, I'll share. No, but that phospholipid layer is crucial. And if you think we have 40 trillion cells in our body, I don't know how many cells the dog's body has, but it has probably, several trillion cells in it. Those cells need that fat. Mm-hmm. The brain needs fat. Mm-hmm. And, you've heard us say that we shouldn't be eating saturated fat, and probably our dogs shouldn't either. But if you think about Well, the brain has saturated fat in it. And if it want, we want to have a healthy brain function, we've got to have fat.
Right.
And so these pancreatic issues, or, you know, these episodes, these sessions of pancreatitis, like I said, it's not going to hurt the dog to go on a low fat diet for maybe a week or 10 days, mm-hmm. let everything settle down and then start to slowly introduce the fat again.
Awesome. Are there other foods we should put in the bowl to support a healthy pancreas?
I can't think of anything specifically, you know, but again, get away from the dry kibble. That's the main thing. And I know that you preach that, Dana, and you have your Volhard products, and they're perfect. So I would just say the majority of the pancreatitis things that I see does not happen with a homemade diet or a raw diet.
Fresh
diet. It happens with commercially prepared. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. All right. And then last but not least, the kidneys. So I get a lot of calls saying my dog's been diagnosed with elevated kidney. What is it? Bun and creatinine?
Creatinine. Mm-hmm.
Or my dog has been diagnosed with chronic kidney disease and I need a low protein diet. How do I cut protein out of the diet? And that's not what I recommend. And so can you talk about why going to low and no protein might not be the wisest of moves for those animals and what we should do instead?
Yeah. So the theory is that the kidneys process the molecules that filter through the blood. So they're thinking that protein, large protein molecules, is actually damages those little tiny tubules in the kidney. That's a theory. There's been no research on that.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a theory. Most medicine is theory. Okay. And I'll let people kind of wrap their heads around that, but there's, that's another day, another workshop topic.
Sure.
But the problem is for the kidney to regenerate and stay healthy, it needs protein. It needs protein. And I would say that the majority, again, of these animals that have chronic kidney disease, it can be caused by damage from the toxins it's ingesting, like we just talked about with the liver. It can also, the kidneys can also be affected by any kind of bacterial or viral infection. And there has been some science or research done correlating the distemper vaccine with kidney damage because I'd have to look up the exact mechanism behind that.
Mm-hmm.
It has to do something with the cell culture that the vaccine is grown on. Kidney disease can happen because of metabolites and acrylamides and different things that's produced in a commercially prepared dry kibble food during the extrusion process. We have carcinogens, which are cancer-causing things. There's a whole list of things that can cause chronic kidney disease, but the last thing we want to do is limit the protein. So when your veterinarian comes out with that expensive, non-tasty bag of the alphabet diets. Let's just put it out there. Let's use that because that's what your veterinarian will recommend, saying your dog is going to have to be on this for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Ultra low protein.
Yeah.
And then we start to see maybe issues with musculoskeletal muscle wasting. Perhaps we'll see a dry, flaky skin because now we don't have the protein that the body needs to rebuild what it is using up. Mm-hmm. I can only put that in the most simple terms. We need proteins.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I think it's a crime. And I would say too, Dana, that if a dog was on a fresh food diet to begin with, we're not going to see all those cases of chronic kidney disease.
Right. And the other benefit of a fresh food diet for a dog with kidney issues, in my mind, is the amount of moisture going in with the food for the hydration factor. And so I've always heard this term of organ robbing when we have dry kibble going in and how it has to pull enough moisture from all the organs to even begin the breakdown of the kibble, because it's so dry when it went in. So hydration is a big deal, and we get much more of that in a fresh food diet. We can ensure that more is going in.
Absolutely.
What about the phosphorus ratio in a kidney diet, the protein to phosphorus ratio? Because a lot of people say, oh, it's not protein we need to do. We need to reduce phosphorus. And if so, how do we do that? And then the follow-up question is, what supplements or essential oils will help us support the kidneys?
Okay, so for the phosphorus really isn't an issue until it gets above what the normal laboratory values are. That happens in the advanced cases of kidney disease. Mm-hmm. So my whole thing is phosphorus, lowering the phosphorus in the early stages is not really, I'm probably going to be stepping on some toes here because I'm thinking outside the box. But phosphorus itself is not the issue. It's the kidney's inability to filter out phosphorus that causes the elevation. So again, going with that fresh food diet, staying hydrated, we won't have to worry about that. But if you have a dog with advanced kidney disease and the phosphorus level is at the dangerous level, you almost have to, at that point, be using phosphorus binding medications and drugs to get that level down. And then we support it with everything else we talked about, the essential oils, the supplements, the fresh food diet, whether it's home cooked or raw. I know raw is the best, but I have some clients that just refuse to put their animal on a raw diet, but they will do a lightly cooked.
Yeah.
And so I'm not opposed to having a lightly cooked fresh food diet.
Right.
But yeah. So your second question on the kidneys was what oils and supplements can we do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oils such as digize, again, or the one that the animals, there's an animal sense, and this is Young Living, animal sense oils. It's called Paragize, and that can be used to help cleanse those kidneys. Juniper berry is a very good one for cleansing the kidneys. Mm-hmm. But you have to be a little bit cautious with it. It can be toxic. I would never do it orally. If you put it on topically, it should be diluted out by at least half, and then probably putting it in a place where it's difficult for a dog to lick it off. I don't think they will lick very much of it, because if you ever put juniper berry on your tongue, it is like nasty. Okay.
Yeah. I would think about sort of putting it over that kidney area on their back. That's where I would apply it.
Exactly. Right. And then the other oils that I would suggest would be lemon essential oil. Lemon is very cleansing for both the kidneys and the liver. And if you want to, you can experiment by taking a glass bowl or a metal bowl, and putting fresh water in there, and no tap water, please. If you are doing city tap water, it's full of stuff you don't want in your body or your dog's body.
Exactly.
But you can use the filtered water. You can buy regular spring water if you can't have any fresh water. I mean, not non-tap water. Mm-hmm. And then put a drop of essential oil in that bowl, but also put out another bowl of fresh water that's not tainted with the oil. If the dogs need it, they know. They'll walk over and they'll drink it. My cats, like when I put lemon oil in my horse's water tank to keep it cleaner and to give them a little cleansing effect, it's a 70-gallon tank, so I put about 20 drops of lemon oil. And the cats, if I've just filled it, they will go and drink out of that water. I'm thinking, wow, I'm going to kill my cats. They're healthy as can be, you know, so
yeah.
Yeah. And lemon, and just off the top of my head, you know, any of the cleansing oils that help support the liver. Here we're going with the correlation between the organ systems. That's even right. Juva Cleanse, Juva Flex can be good for the kidneys.
Mm-hmm.
There is a product called
KMB.
Thank you.
It's out of stock, though. It's been out of stock a long time.
And it is nasty tasting to the animal. So I would, if you're going to use it, you could use it topically because you're still going to get some absorption there.
Right.
But I think that minerals are a big thing too. And I know that probably the company that you use for your feed, your raw feeding, Volhard, don't they have their like minerals and so forth that you can add to the diet?
They do have a really good vitamin mineral supplement, but I have also been known to put in mineral essence, which doesn't taste great either, but You know, yeah. If the dog needs it, I'm going to find a way to get it in there, even if it's topically sure. as well.
Right, right. And then trying to think just off the top of my head, I really like the Young Living multigreens for dogs.
Yes.
It's cleansing, immune supporting, and it is phenomenal if you've got, I can't say the word because I won't be FDA compliant. Let's say chronic illness, it'll help support all the body systems. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And there are probably more. I'm just trying to pull things off the top of my head. That's okay. What did you have in mind, Dana?
No, you've covered them. You've covered them perfectly.
Okay.
So,
all right.
The takeaway from this, I think, is the same takeaway we ultimately have in all of these sessions. Healthy, fresh diet. Get rid of the environmental toxins that are around us and on us and in us, right? Detox the body. And get really proactive supporting your dog's health and aging and the emotional components of all of this. We didn't talk about that much today, but we do. And that's the core. And it comes no matter what topic we've been talking about over all these months, those are the core elements that seem to be the root of resolution for everything.
Right. And I might also add, Dana, that vitamin D3, you can get, I think Dr. Dodds has test kits through her site. And I know that RX Vitamins has a vitamin D test kit that you can buy. But we and our animals are so deficient in vitamin D. And vitamin D is the number one building block of the immune system. So if without vitamin D, we're not going to absorb calcium. We're not going to absorb a lot of our minerals. And then it's going to be we're not going to have a fully functioning immune system. Mm-hmm. I think this is really important we don't think about vitamin D much or vitamin E with our animals. And we need to start doing that too.
Awesome. Thanks for that too. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, this was fantastic. This may be one of our best.
Thank you.
And we didn't have any pre-done questions.
I know.
We're better without them, Dr. Barb. So anything else you would like to add? Any other takeaways for the listeners?
Yes. One other thing I wanted to mention is our animals, especially dogs and cats, are very sensitive to Wi-Fi, 5G transmissions. So if you have Wi-Fi in your house, like we do, we plug or unplug ours anytime we're not using the computer. I don't want to be exposed to it. I don't want my animals to be exposed to it. If you're around an electrical transformer station, like a transmitting station, then you want to support you can buy like clear quartz crystals. You can use cobalt blue glass bottles and jars around your house. I know it sounds kind of woo-woo, but there is a lot of science behind how these things can deflect the
electromagnetic. You sent
me. Yes, yeah, right, right. Very good. And there's a lot of science behind all this, but we're being bombarded with too many things, and a lot of things, and especially the negativity. My take-home point for dog owners especially is you have to take care of yourself and keep your body's frequencies up with essential oils, good diet, and supplements in order for your dogs to stay healthy, because they mirror us. We exchange our energy between them, and we want to keep them as healthy as we can, but it's not going to happen unless we are healthy.
Right.
Make sense?
Yes, it does. And you and I started this before the recording. We were talking about how sort of the energy of the earth right now seems to be spinning a lot of us and a lot of dogs into some really funky behaviors and feelings and all that comes with that. So we need to be grounded and centered and sort of bring ourselves back to intent and purpose and all that kind of stuff.
Correct.
And we can do that with essential oils.
Right. And that just, when you said grounding, we have an essential oil called grounding.
Yeah.
And it's good for all of, I put it on my feet every single morning. because I tend to be scattered here, there, and distracted, and it helps me focus better.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you. This was absolutely fabulous. And I very much appreciate your time and your expertise.
Thanks, Dana. It's been fun.
You're welcome.
All right. Okay.
Hi, I'm Dana Brigman of the Canine Coach Carolinas. You can find me on the internet at caninecoach.dog. That's letter K, number 9, coach.dog. You can also find me on Facebook at the Canine Coach Carolinas, or in our group that is designed to teach dog mamas just like you more about nutrition, essential oils, homeopathy, and other areas of natural wellness. We want you to learn all that you can to keep your dog happy, healthy, and thriving. I hope to see you in our group soon.